Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Rusty George about justice, mercy, humility, a simple path to following Jesus. It's based off that Bible verse, Micah 6:8, that I know a lot of you are familiar with. I've seen it places like Hobby Lobby. Maybe you're like me. You've even got it hanging in your house or office. But we started the conversation about it yesterday, and we'll continue that today. Rusty, in chapter 5 of your book, you talked about leveraging the full power of God in your life. And another thing besides basketball we both have loved for many years and discussed for the past 20 years of our friendship, neither one of us is a real fix-it kind of guy, but man, I admired you talked about chapter 5. You really tried to do a home improvement project.
Well, try is the operative word there. I did my best. Years ago, and this was actually while we were living in Kentucky, I decided to try to install a ceiling fan, which that's a difficult one at best, but now you're adding electricity, so there's a danger involved, too. So I was nervous about this. I actually did something that most men do not do. I read the instructions. I went out and flipped off the breaker and shut that down to make sure there'd be no accidental flipping on of a switch. And then I began to assemble this thing. And I took it out of the box, and I put the mount up on the ceiling, and I was so proud of that. And then I put the light in, and I was really thrilled with that. And then I decided to put on one of the blades. It was a three-blade fan, so it wasn't a real big one. But I put one of the blades on, and I was so jazzed that I made it this far in this project. Nothing had fallen down. It seemed like everything was secure. I thought I had all the wires correctly hooked up. I thought, I can't wait. I need to see this thing finished, or at least operating, even if it's not finished. So I went out, flipped the breaker on, came in, flipped the switch on. And no one had told me, and it's not in the directions, that if you run a ceiling fan with only one blade when it requires three, it's incredibly imbalanced. And everything began to fall apart and shake and rattle. The bulb actually broke. I mean, it was nuts. Lori comes running in. What's going on? Oh, just trying to fix something. So I put the other two blades on, it was fine from then on. But as I was thinking about this book, and thinking about this whole idea of following Jesus, it kept coming to mind that just the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is really a part of the essence of God that we don't talk a lot about, especially when I was growing up, there was God, there was Jesus, and the Holy Spirit we didn't talk a whole lot about. That was for the charismatics down the street, so kind of had a two-person Trinity growing up. Well, that's lopsided, that's imbalanced. And as I began to think about and study justice, mercy, and humility, I really began to recognize just the qualities of justice, mercy, and humility in all three persons of the Trinity, and they all kind of seem to lead out with one of them. I mean, you have the Father, and you really think justice. I mean, the Father speaks up for those who can't speak up for themselves, and we see the image of that in the prodigal son of the Father bringing justice, to his son, and also mercy. But then you have the Son, Jesus, demonstrating mercy by giving his life for us and to pay the penalty that we deserve. And then you have the Spirit, which is so humble. I mean, Jesus actually says that the Spirit coming after him, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he. And then you have the Holy Spirit being so humble, but constantly directing us to the Father and the Son. And you think about, boy, most of my life, I've really only relied on the Son as the person of the Trinity that I think about the most, which is great, and Jesus certainly paid it all. But why did he pay it all? So we could have fellowship with the Father, and so we could have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Some of us sometimes maybe only pursue the Holy Spirit, and we equate that to being spirited, whether it's a worship experience or a deeply moving prayer time, or we sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us or leading us in some capacity, and we forget about the work that Jesus has done and who the Father is. Some of us maybe grew up in a type of expression of religion, or maybe we grew up Jewish, or just with a heightened view of God, the Father, that all we think about is God and maybe judgment or justice, the holiness of God, and how everything needs to, kind of submit to that and recognize how great and big and holy and awesome he is. And we forget about the tender side of God from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so the power of executing these three things in your life really comes from leaning into all aspects of the Trinity rather than just one.
Well, I loved how you elaborated all that, talking about the just Father, the merciful Son, and of course, obviously attending extending mercy to people, and yet sometimes maybe in one of the three areas we do well, but sometimes for us type A personalities like we are, man, if we're not doing all three of them just right, we kind of beat ourselves up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We're really good at being our own judge and jury, and thinking that we've messed this up in some capacity, and yet if we think about the aspect of how the Father wants to have a relationship with us. I was listening to a podcast the other day where a pastor by the name of Jud Wilhite was talking about his new book, Uncaged, which I highly recommend. And in this book, he talks about that, the promise is not of heaven. The promise is the presence of God. We get that now, and then we get that for eternity. And Jesus came to remove the barrier between us and the Father. And the Holy Spirit then communicates between us and the Father. So you see how all three are wrapped together in order to provide us with this abundant life that Jesus talked about, where we could possibly, have this kind of fellowship with Him and live not just bowing down to God, but in the presence of and in the center of the Trinity.
Just tuned in. We're talking with Rusty George, He's the author of a new book that just recently came out called Justice, Mercy, Humility, A Simple Path to Following Jesus. And, one of the things that you addressed in the book that kind of pricked me a little bit, Rusty, is you talked about, if we're going to live in the center of this Trinity that we've been talking about, if we're to follow this God, are we comfortable with others getting the attention that we may deserve? And you challenged us to ask this question: am I comfortable with others getting the credit that I deserve?
Yeah, I think we all wrestle with that. Certainly in a selfie world, we're always posting stuff online, and great studies have been done to figure out that one of the things that we love about posting stuff online is when people like it or share it. And it actually creates a sense of dopamine in the brain, which is similar to drugs and other things that we might take, and it creates a sense of, boy, that felt good, so I need more of it. Well, how do we do that? Well, we post pictures of ourselves, assuming people will say, well, you look great. We don't post them so somebody will say, have you gained weight? We post them so people can tell us how great we are and how great we look, and we love to let people know what we've come up with, what we've done, and the ideas that we have, and it really does become a difficult thing for us to wrestle with. Is, am I okay if nobody knows that I did this or I was behind that? And how could I possibly, maybe even shift that attention towards somebody else?
Well, and I love, you're very transparent in the book, and I can relate to this, doing a little bit of preaching, public speaking, that even though we know we just want to do our best and give it to God, we still kind of look for a little affirmation from people telling us that, hey, that was really good or that really spoke to me, don't we?
We do. I recently had a chance to lead a team of people over to Israel. We did the whole Holy Land journey, and it was awesome. And the whole trip kind of ended with us being in the Garden Tomb, so we get to see the empty tomb of Christ, and they have separate rooms around there where you can kind of congregate as groups. And so we'd asked if we could use a room, and we did. And one of our worship leaders was with us, and she led us in several songs. And, man, it was so moving. And we all sang, and everybody's crying. And then Lori and I served communion to everybody on our trip and just prayed over them individually. And it was just such an amazing moment. And I remember, and this is just the human side of all of us, and certainly me, after it was all done, we're leaving that little room, we're walking through the Garden Tomb, people are coming up and telling me, boy, that was the greatest experience of my life, that was amazing, I love that, thank you. And there's something in my head that goes, boy, you really did something awesome there. And then I immediately sensed the Spirit of God telling me, are you really going to brag on yourself near the empty tomb? I thought, what a moron I am. Are you kidding me? At least do this back in America where you're far removed from it, But seriously, if we, I heard somebody say one time, if we were able to live on the sun, there'd be no need for flashlights. And if we live in the world with God, I mean, is there any reason for us to have any kind of personal praise or accolades? And yet we all get suckered into that at some point.
You also talked about in chapter 5 of your book, you said Micah 6:8, which your book's based on, says is a calling for us to give our whole selves as offerings, not just the parts we're comfortable with or prefer. Furthermore, it's calling us to act in these three ways in a holistic manner. God and our actions based on who we believe God to be are inseparable. Those actions are inseparable from one another, too. This is the God we serve, and this is different from the God I thought I knew. And, man, I found that to be so true that when you stated that, and I really think that's part of what you're trying to speak to people through this book, aren't you?
Yeah, it really is. I think that we come up with this version of God that's really not who he was and who he is. And we say, well, my God would never do that, or my God would never think that. Well, your God is too small, and so is mine. And we typically make him in our own image. And so I'd spend some time in the book, let's just deal with the end of the verse. You know, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. All right, well, who's your God? Well, we can quickly figure out who our God is based upon where we spend our money and our time, where our minds drift and those kind of things. So let's reprioritize who God really is, and then let's do justice and mercy and humility in light of that, holistically, rather than just compartmentalized.
One of the things I like in your book, Rusty, is that in the chapters you have a to-do list, and you talked about, like in this chapter 5, you said, you know, address the following questions by using the Trinity as a framework to do so. Who am I? Why am I here? How can I live successfully in God's eyes? How can I belong? And what can I do about the suffering in my life and the world? And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, we get so busy, sometimes we don't ask those simple questions to ourselves, do we?
No, we don't. I mean, all of us wake up in the morning and we're immediately thinking about, what do I have to do today? And, you know, is this going to be a good day or going to be a bad day? Is this going to be one I dread or one that I love? And it's all, you know, it's pretty self-focused. And we go through the whole day thinking about ourselves and all the stuff we have to get done. And we stop to ask the bigger questions. So one of the ways you can get ahead of this is the night before. Let's start thinking about it. What are we going to do tomorrow that honors other people, that is just for people, that exhibits mercy and humility? And there's to-do lists in the end of every chapter that can give you some practical ways to live this out and some group ideas for your family or your life group, small group, that can help live this out as well.
Well, we've been talking with Rusty George. He's author of a new book called Justice, Mercy, Humility, A Simple Path to Following Jesus. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy. I just got done reading a couple of days ago and really stretched my mind and heart and kind of caused me to look at that verse, Micah 6:8, that I know a lot of you that have been followers of Jesus for a while have really you know, you love that verse, but he breaks it down just in a really simple way, and yeah, it's got questions to make you think about yourself, but also group questions, and also has resources for church. And what's the best way to do that again, Rusty?
Yeah, you just go to justicemercyhumility.com, and you can get, obviously, the book, but you can also get church resources, too. So if you're a church leader, we've got messages on there for you. You can use the book as a small group guide because there's questions in the back. And then there's soon to come video interviews with people about their understanding of this verse as well. So a lot of good things that we're going to be unveiling over the course of the next few months. So check it out.
All right. Well, stay with us again because tomorrow, Rusty George will be our guest. And we talk about when helping is hurting on Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.